Have you ever wondered what happens to our digital lives after we're gone? Could we be brought back to life through our online personalities? There's a new series from GE Podcast Theater that explores those ideas. It's a new show called Life After, which is made by the same people who made the award-winning podcast The Message last year. It's kind of like a Black Mirror episode for your ears. Once again, it's called Life After, and you can find it on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get podcasts.
Metro, don't trust you, I'm gonna show you. Beautiful morning, you're the sun of my morning, babe.
The internet, and welcome to another episode of the Cracked Podcast. My name is Jack O'Brien. I'm the editor-in-chief of Cracked, and this week we're listening to my favorite songs of the year, all of which I featured on the podcast when they came out, because I'm good to you guys. They all seemed appropriate to the year in one way or another. This is Father Stretch My Hands, parts one, and we'll play part two heading into the show. Part one became a meme with the drop we just heard being used on top of vines back when those were a thing. We're going to ride into the show on part two, which used an obscure song called Panda so well that it went to number one in the world a couple months after The Life of Pablo came out. That's one thing I've always admired about Kanye, is that he'll give the best moments of a song to other people. The Metro Boomin' drop we just heard, Panda, is a song by Designer. You get the sense that he gets excited about making other people look good. And I think Kanye is a great artist because he does that. He basically does whatever is going to be best for the song, up to and including not sleeping for 3 weeks, which turns out not so good for the old cabeza. Anyways, yeah, we're bringing back my favorite musical moments of the year because it's our year in review episode. And this year, yeah, this fucking year, you guys. So I mentioned the Summer of the Shark during the show in reference to the bear attacks that keep happening due to bears being starved out of their natural habitat and into human inhabited places by global warming. And as I'll explain, the Summer of the Shark was what Time magazine called the year 2001, following a couple of people being attacked by sharks that summer. And it was obviously a designation that immediately looked hilariously outdated on September 11th, 2001, when Jay-Z released The Blueprint. When Al-Qaeda attacked, I don't know the exact number, but more than two Americans. And basically everything prior to this year's election feels like that to me, just looking back on it. Like, we lived in one world prior to November 8th, in which young women and young people were like hopeful and had a sense of how the world worked. And then November 9th, we'd learned that both sides were wrong the whole time, and that's impossible to ignore looking back. It's there in the background of every single news story from pre-election 2016. I had a point I wanted to make about Pokemon Go and how it represented like a new form of technology that got us out and into the world and running into each other, as it was prophesied in the Oscar-winning movie Crash, and how this was the first counterpunch in a technological arms race that had driven people inward and indoors. Teenagers today apparently no longer give a shit about getting their license. It's just not a consideration because they don't need to go anywhere. They can FaceTime and sext and communicate at a safe distance from one another. Anyways, I believe all of that stuff is true, but spending even 5 minutes on Pokemon Go in the show felt weird. Felt like calling 2001 Summer of the Shark, like a sort of immediately dated artifact of a year that we spent thinking we lived in one kind of world and later discovered things were worse, or at the very least, very different than we thought. One thing people were aggressively wrong about and seem to still be wrong about in the pre- and post-election. Turns out Trump's not an idiot. The form of communication he's skilled at is obviously offensive to liberal sensibilities, but the liberal opposition to the Bush presidency was, I think, crippled by this kind of pervasive assumption that he was a thoughtless idiot. The general impression you got being alive at the time was his IQ probably fell somewhere below 80. But that's not true. There's a story about Bush when he was at Yale. I always just assumed he got into Yale because of legacy. The story goes he was part of a 50-person pledge class at the fraternity he'd eventually be the president of, and they were being excoriated for being self-centered and not giving a shit and the frat in general. And to prove their point, the upperclassmen start calling up different members of the Rush class and ask them to name all the different members of the pledge class. And, you know, the first couple people they call up can name like three, maybe four people. And then they call up college age George W. Bush, the far less successful follow up to Muppet Babies. And he names all 50 of the people in his Rush class. And the guy who was telling this story, you know, was in his Rush class, said that like a hush fell over this room of frat boys, because that's a sort of genius. And I bring that up because that's a story I really wish I had heard at the time he was still president instead of last year. It would have made me less likely to underestimate him. And I bring it up now to say, let's not make the same mistake with Trump. Trump is similarly very good, bordering on ingenious at certain skills. They just happen to be skills the left doesn't value, but they make him extremely good at being a populist politician. So let's keep that in mind. He and his team are doing everything they do on purpose. So yeah, that's what we're talking about today. A year in review. Hope you enjoy it. Hope you enjoy my favorite songs of the year. And I'll be back at the end for some footnotes. Talk to you then. I just want to be a liberated iron. Take it off, steady. I get broads in Atlanta, twisted up leaning shit. Take it off. Credit cards in the scammers. Wake up, set your shit. What's up, UCB Sunset? Welcome to this year-end Cracked Live podcast. My name's Jack O'Brien. I'm the editor-in-chief. And joining me on stage, he is Cracked's resident font of sexual charisma, Mr. Alex Schmitty the Clam Schmidt.
Hi.
Someone just yelled the clam. And next to him, a hilarious stand-up who has appeared on the Oddball comedy tour, Outside Lands, podcast like Put Your Hands Together, competitive erotic fan fiction. I always mean to ask you about that.
It's
that sounds
exactly
incredible.
What it sounds like.
That's wonderful. And NPR's Snap Judgment. Please welcome Caitlin Gill. And next to her, a hilarious writer performer at Cracked. Please welcome Dr. Mr. Cody Johnston. And next to him, the head of Cracked Video, the abs of steel. Please welcome Mr. Daniel O'Brien. Yeah.
This sounds like a crowd that is ready to say goodbye to 2016.
All right, so round of applause.
Felicia.
Good year or best year ever?
Just clap, it doesn't matter.
Yes, yes, right. Answer that question in a round of applause. Answer that binary.
So, it's a year in review. We are going to have three main segments. A year in review segment, wherein we kind of look at the way other publications, lesser publications, like Time Magazine, are reviewing the year and provide our thoughts on that. We're going to talk about some news stories everybody got wrong this year, which might sound a lot like the first section, and it is. So I just realized that now. I apologize. And then we're going to talk about, everybody's going to pick a cultural thing of the year or two. It could be a meme, a photograph, a dance move, any of those things. Then we're going to ask these folks to give us a one-minute preview from the 2017 year in review at the end. But let's start in, guys. 2016.
Woo!
Yeah! What? It's just going to be a lot of that. It's just going to be a lot of that. For the year in review part, Donald Trump is the person of the year. Now, people are, like, getting mad saying that that means that Time Magazine thinks he was the best person this year, which would imply that they thought Hitler was the best person in World War II twice. Like, I think that award was essentially, like, made for the year Donald Trump had. I feel like we all discovered on November 9th that we were living inside a wet dream being had by Donald Trump.
Oh, but a wet nightmare.
Right.
Where you come and then realize it was your mom the whole time. Like, you don't, like, this was not his plan. It wasn't, he didn't intend for this to work
out. The cum was coming from inside the house.
Yes, yes, it was. Yeah, that ejaculate, yeah, that didn't come in from the outside. I loved the meltdown about how Time had selected Trump. Somehow favorable, as if the image on the cover could be interpreted favorably in any way. I've read some really great, like, photography blogs went nuts, because this image is beautiful and layered and expertly done, aside from the obvious devil horns.
Right.
Every
that was a little
nuance
on the nose.
From that weird hair down, like his turned pose, there's cracks in the chair, his suit, everything about it, his face looks so, it's like, if you thought post-election Hillary was a face that you got to make fun of, just wait till that Time cover, baby. He looks like the inside of the sun. It's not good. It is not a favorable picture. It's brilliantly done, I thought.
Yeah, he looked like, for all the Inspector Gadget fans out there, it looked like if Claw had, like, turned around, if they had, like,
like, you
up.
Knocked on Claw's right. door, like, lunch is here? Like, that's, yeah.
Right.
I think the cover even calls him and says Donald Trump, and then it says President of the Divided States of America.
Yeah, right.
Which is not what you say when somebody wins and we're stoked.
Right.
No.
It's not.
Did you see the clip of Trump at a, I'm sorry, anybody else can talk at any
man
time.
Year,
stop me.
Of the year?
No, the person of the year, man of the year yeah. bullshit. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who thinks it should be person? Who thinks it should be man?
And then
he pulls the crowd. He's like, how many think that, like, they should have changed it to man of the year? Not enough? I'm going to ask again.
Ask
he
more
asks
times.
Them again, so they cheer louder for him.
He and like a total of four times. Should it be person of the year, or should they call me boy of the year, which is what I'll call him out of respect.
Yeah, boy of the year.
Little boy.
Trump, boy of the year.
Boy of the year.
Big boy of the year. He asks them a total of four times and gets different levels of applause each time. And then once he's wasted 6 minutes of everyone's lives, he goes, anyway, who cares? Who cares about
right.
that?
Literally says, who cares? And, like,
clearly the man with the microphone who demanded you answer him four times like,
yes.
gives a little bit of a shit.
His whole point was, like, women. Look, women are cheer. Women think it should be man of the year. That's what women think. As if women in that crowd aren't tempered to loud men yelling over them, informing them of their opinion. As if that's not their fucking every day.
And like,
when I cheer, I get hit less. I'm not trying to minimize those women or their struggle, but Jesus Christ, yeah I agree. Ugh, sorry.
If you,
I'm going to divulge into that. I have a feeling a lot of sounds are just going to start coming from me soon. Ah,
just pain. Just let it go. Let
oh,
your
so
pain
much.
Out.
This is a good release, guys. Thanks.
Because if we were to summarize his speech, he is mad that Time Magazine called him a person.
Yeah. Yeah, he's upset
That's
about being
it.
A person. How are they going to know I'm a man?
what a character.
I mean, I guess if we're picking sides, I'm also mad Time called him a person.
He also, even if, like, let's say Hillary Clinton won, he
Woo!
Was...
Right? Let's say
still,
Hillary Clinton won by 3 million votes. Let's just say that happened.
Let's say that happened and leave now.
Right, yeah.
He would still be their person of the year.
Yeah,
probably.
I think that's
like,
probably true.
He would have deserved it.
Controlled
yeah.
the year in ways that no one should be happy about.
Right.
It's like we took, shit, this Lord of the Flies, that's the reference I wanted. Remember that book from fourth grade? It's mm-hmm. like Jack One. This was how we learned what ego, superego, and id was. And we all know that we are piggy, and we are lost. Like, maybe you're a Ralph, congratulations, but most of us are just scared of Jack right now. Sorry.
I do think that...
Speak on that, Jack.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jack. I was staring right at you, too. I didn't mean it. I wasn't thinking of you.
I'm used to being feared. Don't worry.
Said like a truly terrifying man.
I'm used to being feared. I do feel like I've seen at least a couple Urim reviews that are saying rightly that it was a bad-ish year. It wasn't great. But then they're like lumping in so many great celebrities left us, which is true. But I feel like that happens every year. You were making that point that like every year people are like, I mean, fucking Prince left us, and like they act like the year Michael Jackson died, people were like, I mean, could it get any worse? And I guess that's what this year was. It's showing them that it could.
It's somehow kind of like the Times Person of the Year isn't necessarily great. It's like, oh, celebrities die years? What? Like, it's always like,
but it wasn't. It's not like, no, Prince had no contemporaries. That's fine. But there are artists from the same era that could have passed that we would have respected and been sad about. Same as with like Bowie. You know, it wasn't Steven Perry or Tyler, whichever one the Aerosmith guy
is. Right, right.
Like, he's a great singer.
Steven Tyler Perry.
I don't need him to get through this. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I need Prince to remember how to fuck right now. And I absolutely need, like, David Bowie is how we've made it thus far, if you're a weirdo. Like, this, we needed him, and he's gone. So, yeah, celebrities die every year, but they're picking off ones we could use. Like, I'm sad I could use a new Leonard Cohen song, and there's not going to be one.
And Scalia, too.
Yeah, man, I miss him so much.
Right.
Really reading the room well.
When your clammy body collapsed on the hooker you were banging in that weird Arizona resort.
I mean, we all know that that's what happened.
We all felt that loss.
But this is, I feel like this is the first year where I've seen all the deaths specifically reported as like 2016 murdered that celebrity. And that's not. We're just making ourselves sad, guys. Come on.
Also, Prince's passing gave rise to one of my favorite kind of genres of news story that I didn't know existed, which is just Prince stories.
Yeah, man.
There are so many good Prince stories of him just being the greatest bitch in the world to famous people.
I have one. Do you need one?
Yes.
Do you want a filler?
Yeah.
I do a show with Bobcat Goldthwait. He's also my roommate and my tour buddy. I love him. He's the best. He was once Prince's birthday present.
I don't think we need any more information.
Prince just said, exactly. Prince just said, I want to meet Bobcat for my birthday. And then Bobcat was at his party, like plain limo style. And then they met in like a small space in his home. Like Bob was led to like a hallway. And then Prince entered. And the part of Bob's story that I will save is the joke that he made to Prince that Prince did not respond to. Not didn't like, didn't really respond to. And then Prince just, and then turned and went back to the party. Like leaving Bob just like, okay, I guess this was, all right. I guess that was Prince's birthday present. Prince can just... Dude, I want that.
He seems to appreciate comedy, but I don't think he's ever laughed in his life.
No, like, I don't think laughter.
In a genuine way.
He's got that wry half smile sometimes. Like, that was a
but it's
like
always
the way an
something
astrophysicist
awesome
appreciates
did.
A Rubik's Cube. It's like cute toy kid. Yeah.
So just one at random. He was dating Carmen Electra, and she started dating somebody else. And he said, I wrote a song about you and flew her to Minneapolis and played I Hate You to her. She said it was hard to hear, and it was even harder to hear the parts of the song that said it could have been a completely different way than to say, I hate you because I love you. I literally cried in front of him. I think he just wanted me to hear it and know that he was really upset. Then he flew me back to Los Angeles. Just played her the song and then was like,
that was just Purple Rain in real life. That is 1,000% Purple Rain in real life.
Yeah.
Except for the part where he hits the girl. Okay, anyway, sorry, go ahead.
That's
happens.
Interesting.
Did you forget? It doesn't hold up like you want it to.
There's an interesting thing that, like, I mean, we work for a website where we put out lists and articles and reviews all the time.
What?
My heart is really going out for all of the writers and editors who are putting out year-end review things. They're just trying to get it done now ahead of the holidays. They've got, like, a few weeks until we don't write any more year-end review things, and they're putting the finishing touches on, and it's like, what's that? He made who Secretary of State? Oh, shit. That's way worse. Okay, we need to make the article about that now. Like, every minute of every day, something new and terrible. Oh, man, Tom Waits choked on Bill Murray and they're both dead?
Yeah.
Right, this is the year of, like, December surprises. Yeah. Like, oh, by the way.
Like an advent calendar of doom. We just open a little door.
Yeah, it feels like a lot of the cultural lists, especially this year, feel somewhat inadequate to the year that we just had. Like, Alex, you were saying, like, this is the summer song that defined the year. And it's like, no, it didn't really define.
Talking about that troll song from Justin Timberlake?
I legitimately forgot Lemonade came out. I just didn't remember. And I've been reading year
because
end.
Because it's
like,
timeless and it has always been.
Yeah, Solange had an amazing album. Like, this was a great music year. Totally forgot. Yeah. Really slipped my mind. But it made me wonder, like, at the terrible moments of the 20th century, was there somebody writing lists of, oh, these wax cylinders right now, I'll tell you why.
Yeah, the top 10 pictures of 1941.
Yeah.
That's my impression of 1941, people. What else do we have from our year in review section?
So I couldn't decide if this is going to be my year in review or my cultural thing of the year or my one-minute review. So I'll put it here anyway, because it's a good segue from Lemonade, that this is a year where so many crazy things didn't even get honorable mentions. Really, there's because there were so many big apocalyptic things that happened that is also just briefly scanning through. Like Richard Simmons disappeared 2 years ago. We don't know. No one's following up on that. There's just an article that was like, no one's seen Richard Simmons since 2014, and his friends are really worried. And it was like, yeah, but did you hear what that cheese doodle said about women and where you can grab them? I'm sorry, Richard Simmons. Just all these things, like, Russell Crowe had a feud with Azalea Banks. The Rock and Vin Diesel got in a fight. Shia LaBeouf rapped. It was fine.
It was, like, pretty, yeah, fine.
Yeah. Bernie Sanders openly talked about the rapper Killer Mike, and like, this is almost a direct quote, like, the name threw me at first, but he's never killed anyone, he is just a killer rapper, so it's fine. What a year! Amazing. What a year for straight. That fucking bird landed.
What?
Yeah.
The bird on the podium.
The bird on the podium.
Bird holding a speech.
Fuck
and
that
then
bird,
man. A Disney.
Fuck that bird.
Right.
I'm sorry.
And then Donald Trump tried to play with an eagle, and it attacked him.
Yeah, and that
desk.
Was the best. I'm proud of that eagle.
Amazing.
I know that the bird is a powerful symbol. You're just looking at a Hillary supporter for day one. Actually, back to 2008, and I was wrong in 2008, and I still think I was right this time. And I also think she was a great Secretary of State. I know that nobody else finds her inspiring. I've genuinely been inspired by her.
Quit putting words
figure.
In my mouth. I've been Hillary day one.
Backstage, and I stayed silent just like I did during the Bernie Revolution. I felt just, she got sandbagged. She's been sandbagged for decades. And the bird, I just watched that bird land and was like, you know, nature is taking her down at this point. I get it. If you are a Bernie person, I appreciate you, and the fire and passion in your heart is gorgeous, and I love it. I just think that Hillary Clinton would have made a brilliant executive leader. I think she is an excellent candidate to be a really, really incredible president. And I think Bernie Sanders is amazing at his job. We need him in the Senate. That's an amazing... The way he drives an issue home is what a lawmaker does. A president has a different job. An executive leader is a different position that is necessarily more pragmatic, as distasteful as that feels. I think they could have made a brilliant team. I think that the nomination process was brutal to watch as a Hillary supporter because it just didn't have to go that way. And the camps had so much more in common than the divisive nature of that, you know, pre-election election allowed us to believe. It was very frustrating as a person who absolutely understands why you'd give a vote to Bernie, but still passionately believes that Hillary is the better candidate for president. Anyway, sorry.
I just thought it was weird that a bird landed on the podium.
It's weird!
There's
but
an
I watched
old,
it happen just like we didn't. It,
there's an old crack podcast.
If a bird landed on Hillary's podium, it would have been like Hillary's causing global warming. That bird fell from the sky and dropped onto her podium. Like, she just doesn't get the same spin. I'm sorry.
Just for the sake of this continuing so we're on the same page, there's a podcast that we did a year and a half ago that is like as dated as the shirt that has my face on it that says 2016, the year of Daniel. This is a podcast that Schmitty
and I... So it's your fault.
Yeah. Right. This is a podcast that Schmitty and I did where I said repeatedly out loud in a room with air in it into a microphone, Bernie Sanders isn't going to get the nomination and he shouldn't. It's going to be Hillary and Jeb Bush. And I was wrong, but I'm still like dyed-in-the-wool Hillary's supporter forever. This guy loves Bernie. You yell at him now.
You don't have to yell at me.
I'm not going to yell at you. I think
I agree to a point. I think she would have been an amazing president and wonderful at the job. I think she's never been good at selling herself as good at a job. And like, she as a candidate, she's not very good. She's not a strong candidate. She's great at the job that she does.
To
she
you.
Been a great president.
But she wasn't talking to you. And I know that that's very forward and direct, and I, it's, I said it for effect more than anything else. I just mean that her message was broader for a reason, and of course it's less dynamic to people who've been spoken directly to for centuries.
I don't need her to speak directly to me. I need her to... That doesn't matter.
But look around. Look around. Turn your head left and right. And Bernie had the same powerful effect, but Hillary had it too. When you look left and right at the people that were inspired, that fucking matters. And if the message fell a little flat for you, look left and right. If a 7-year-old girl is beaming, if a 35-year-old woman is beaming, if a black man who's 73 is beaming, that's essential to realize that that message is reaching them, and maybe it's their turn.
And I voted for her.
I know. Of course you did.
I think she would have been a great president.
I know. Me too. I'm sorry.
She still might be.
She might be. Fingers crossed.
She
Who
still
the fuck
might
knows?
Be.
The CIA. The CIA. Not the National Enquirer. Like the Russians.
Yeah.
Do we have a clip?
This is what I. Talked enough, but if I haven't already hit the white men point home hard enough, I will address every point made as some different perspective. I love you guys. I love Cracked so much. I really do read it all the time, and also anytime I am on a panel of only white guys, I'm gonna yell about how Hillary is good! It's a hardwired instinct that I can't quite shake, but the thing I wanted to talk about that I actually came prepared for, dystopian movies are happening. How far away are we from Red Dawn? That's Russian foreign invasion, and then school kids in the woods. I just feel like it's coming.
Russia's back, baby.
John Gabers had that tweet that really made me laugh, and also I realized that I knee-jerk identified with it. It was just quotes, "Man, this Spider-Man Homecoming trailer looks really, really good," says guy who's living in Red Dawn.
John Gabers is amazing.
And to speak to what you're saying, like you have, I'm in my capacity as a senior member of Cracked, I'm authorizing you to shout down any one of us. No one wants to tamp down anything that you want to say.
Let the comment section reveal how people really feel about that.
But that does segue into a very faint and problematic bright spot that I've seen from this, is that like me as a consumer of pop culture for my entire life is like, oh, wow, movies got the Russians back as the bad guys. Because we had a really strong run with the Cold War where it was like, oh, no, John McClane, look out, it's the Russians. And oh, no, Arnold Schwarzenegger, look out, it's the Russians. And it was like, this is simple. And then we stopped being mad at this vague idea about the Russians as an enemy. And then we got into this strange territory where all of our bad guys in our big action movies were vaguely Middle Eastern, and now as a woke individual, that was bothersome to me, because I thought, no, we're already in a really tough place with Muslims and Middle Eastern people, that we don't need to make them only villains in our movies. They're not getting cast as anything else. It's just whenever we see a Middle Eastern actor, they're a villain. This is a problem. We need to fix this right now. And then the present happened, and it's, oh, good, the Russians again. Okay.
Oh, great. Just craggy white guys. That's our enemy again. It's just white guys with sharper noses. Yeah. That's what we have to look out for.
Are you saying the Russians have saved us?
From ourselves?
I mean, I'm not saying that.
Did I just say that?
In fact, you did.
Yeah, blonder bad guys. I'm ready to go back to the time when blonde hair just meant bad guy immediately. Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Yeah,
fuck
just people Russia. Look like foosball players. Like these little foosball guys.
Like, I'm sorry, not people who play foosball,
the little players inside
the machine.
Yeah.
Okay,
got it. Not like those hardcore foosball players.
I was really trying to, so like big forearms? Is that, like,
this will
real
be a
quick
good,
wrists.
Real good wrists.
Look out, he's got quick wrists.
This will be a good segment. Everyone, let's go around the horn and name your favorite foosball player.
This year, or?
Well, we lost a lot of good ones this year.
Yeah, we did. Just a random stray observation about year-end things. Yahoo's top search terms, did you guys look at those?
Yeah.
They're like really weird. Gwen Stefani is number 3, the number 3 most searched thing. Like, so apparently the only people still using Yahoo are like in the year 2004, like legitimately. Like.
That means the Venn diagram between people who use Yahoo and don't know who Gwen Stefani is a perfect circle.
Schmitty, is this the year that Gwen Stefani got divorced and then started seeing Blake Shelton?
I think I saw that on a lot of Check on Sam magazines, and I think that was what was going on. Yeah.
That's the only explanation
it's not like a good explanation.
No, but I mean, it's like, why it's, if you're going to search Gwen Stefani, that's a reason.
Also, there are plenty of reasons.
Well, then I feel like I sounded dismissive of celebrity news just then. It's fun. It's great. But I feel like it did take more of a back seat than it usually does this year. Remember, this is a year when Kim Kardashian got kidnapped and held hostage in Paris, maybe. And, like, basically the plot of Taken. Which led to Kanye West almost dying. And it was not something that hung a lot of us up. We just focused on the world and the rest of what's happening.
They were the number one celebrities, all for...
Yeah.
Yeah, and then this year, people were like, he's having a mental breakdown. Yeah. Whatevs.
He'll come back, he'll be blonde, it's fine.
We forgot the kidnapping so hard that when Kanye West was like, I don't think I can do this show anymore, I have to stop this show today, and then the next day, checked into a hospital, they're like, crazy Kanye, what's eating him, I wonder?
Yeah, right.
To be fair, that show was in Sacramento, and those people have very little else to look forward to. My parents were born in Sacramento, I was also born there, St. Joseph's Hospital. So yeah, look, you don't got a lot.
To whom is that fair?
To whom is that fair? The people of Sacramento. Their voice is going unheard. They need entertainment. That's what they were telling you. That was the point of that article.
Anybody who was present for when he shut the show down, but then the lights came up and he slowly was glided out of the thing with the lights up and just in abject silence, just kind of standing there awkwardly while everybody watched him, got their money's worth. Like, that was the best show of the year. If people haven't seen that video, you really
and for anyone who doesn't
know
and for whom that sounds like an insane thing if you're not a Kanye fan, the way that he's been doing this tour is he's on a stage that rotates and moves and floats above the audience. And this was in the middle of a show where he's just like, I'm sick, I'm not going to give you a show. Show's over. Lights went up, and he is still standing on this stage. addressing no one.
The thing doesn't move very fast, so he was just there.
I mean, you'll see when our stage rises up.
Yeah,
right. We're floating.
We have a segment for a cultural thing of the year. Us! And then we fly through the audience. Cody, you were talking about for the year in review and review. The idea that we're still not acknowledging that, like, there are just two separate realities being discussed in media is insane. The fact that anyone's trying to be like, this is objective reality is crazy.
This year in review is kind of accurate, but, like, you can read a year in review and it says, and then on this date, Bernie Sanders endorsed Hillary Clinton because he believes in unity and defeating Donald Trump. Or you could read a year in review that says, Bernie Sanders sells the fuck out, and he's spineless, and there's just no agreement on what is real and what is true and what we are all experiencing.
And that is deliberate. That is a concerted effort.
Yeah.
On the part of people who ran a very well-organized, weird campaign that just proved incredibly successful.
Right.
I forget. I'm assuming that a lot of us saw the Guardian piece, which I ironically found on Facebook, which basically
lays out how
Google and Facebook have been incredibly effectively hacked to spread a specific tone of information. We just talked about Yahoo. If you Google "are Jews," the fill-in in Google is different from the fill-in in Yahoo, y'all. Like, Google has just been co-opted to the first response to "are Jews evil? Are women evil? Are Muslims bad?" Are all the first autofills, and that was on purpose. So,
right. Yahoo is just "are Jews Gwen Stefani?"
Yes.
Right, you can do the same. Yes. Like, you can type in crooked and, like, some search engines,
Hillary. Right,
but
exactly.
Not all of them, because that's not what people are Googling.
Right, and Google, we use Google as a verb, so it's the one that people went for, and we still use it as a resource, but think about how that changes the tone of your life if you are a Jew and you just pop into Google to see, like, are Jews serving bagels near me? Like, the primary purveyor of information globally, what it's going to tell you is, like, nope, too evil to get a bagel. Go back to a bank, Jew face, no bagels for you. Do not isolate the audio for me yelling that.
Also, I feel like that's on them. Like, you should Google, like, where can I get bagels?
Yeah, absolutely.
Not,
fair. But I think
Jews
the first result is currently bagels are only available in banks. Do not get them. Like, I think that is currently the third response on Google. It's just chilling, and it's so well organized. And Facebook, I struggle with my chronic Facebook addiction, and I don't post anything except for show notices. I keep it as a professional tool, but as a person, all I do is look at you and the stupid shit that you're all saying and your dogs. And that's eating away at my time. And in between all of your dogs and brunches are my news. And that's probably not the best situation to move forward in 2017 in.
My dog is news, all right.
Honestly, my dog is too, and does Cody's she have an Instagram? Of course she does, course. @major_Houlihan, check it out.
Cody's dog got a haircut yesterday, it looks real
really?
Nice.
Yeah.
He knows about it because of the news.
Yeah. When it's, and it really bums me out that the way that there's two or three or a billion feeds for people is happening with end of year stuff where we've had all year to process it. Because at least with breaking news, there's kind of an excuse for, oh, well, they're just working with the information they have to deal with it. Like we're, if you're listening to this after the fact, we're recording it December 10th. And today I looked, Washington Post, the story was the Russians might have overthrown the government. And then the Drudge Report main story was New York's having SantaCon. There are people dressed as, which is people dressed as Santa running around the streets of New York.
Didn't it get canceled because of the rain?
Maybe.
I think it did. God, Drudge. Yeah. Can't even get that right.
Well, no, but Drudge is main. So because of this fact that there's like a red reality and a blue reality, now during our daily editorial meetings, we have the headlines from normal news sources, but then we also have the headlines from Drudge. And always at the top is like, it's cold in the Midwest today. He just finds places where it's cold and reports on that because that's his way of disproving global warming, yeah. I think, is like honestly like the direction they're going. Meanwhile,
yeah, there's the snowball senator. I forget his name.
James Inhofe.
Yeah, he brought a snowball into the Senate and he's like, ah, you see, there's snow. Everything's fine.
Yeah. And then watch the clip because he limply throws it afterward. It's amazing.
How are you coping at Cracked? How do you move forward in this weird, fractured, manipulative, the broken environment?
Dog haircuts.
Okay.
She looks so cute.
I mean, Cracked always has a really wide variety of content. Some of it is, I mean, political, and some of it is intensely researched, long, detailed pieces, and some of it is lists that are really fun to just stare at. How do you keep moving forward now? Who are you trying to reach, and how are you reaching them now?
We keep moving forward because so far no one has pitched me a better alternative.
I mean,
the alternative is stop, or the alternative is like strengthen our bubble, our thin bubble, just like reinforce it so it's that dome from that Stephen King book.
Right. Is that just knowing who you are as a publication and staying centered in that as you choose
expanding
going to
the bubble
and choose your stories?
It's expanding the bubble. I think it was a tremendous wake-up call, which is a carefully chosen phrase, because the day after the election, our fearless and terrifying leader, Jack.
You're talking about Donald Trump.
No, really confused for a second.
Our leader, Jack Dad O'Brien, canceled meetings so we could all get on the phone and sort of like give everyone on the site a chance to complain and question and like how is everyone else doing? What are you doing? Does everyone feel safe? Does everyone, if they don't feel safe, let's talk about that. Let's examine that. Just sort of like air your grievances and your concerns and just use that, like even just say, fuck, oh no, we made Nazis again. Like get it all out there. And then once everyone's out of breath, let's talk about, okay, we are a platform. We have a voice. We need to figure out how we're going to meaningfully cover this man for the next 4 years. And a lot of that is going to be like, what is our intention? Mm-hmm. What is our clarity of purpose? And how are we going to present this information to the world? And why are we all so surprised? Why was this such a shock to us? Let's examine that. Not that the goal was to really bring in those clicks, but we did get some of the most meaningful content the site has ever done from this group of people who were just like trying to process this and like really speak to each other and speak to the people that we obviously didn't reach before or didn't hear from before. And you know, we're just eyes open, ears open, mouth open.
That's great. We published clicks matter right now. Sorry, in this environment where clicks are, where people's attention is getting directed, those things snowball. The more people look at this media, the more people find it, and that is essential. And if you're sending out a message that is actually reaching people in this environment, you've gone above and beyond. You haven't just said something meaningful. You've said something so necessary that it's cut its way through this deliberate wall that's in front of you and a consumer. And that's just remarkable. I do like Cracked a lot. I mean, I'm the only... all I do is tell dumb jokes about the world. I can't imagine being in your position now. I get to look from my inside out. You guys cover a broader world than I have to look at, and I do not envy you or the position you're in coming up.
You're looking at me, so I feel like credit is coming this way.
I'm trying to switch.
I write about Pinocchio mostly. The other guys, they're doing the real work.
I read that shit.
But it's really like edgy political Pinocchio content. It's,
yeah, like,
it's,
when are we going to see President Big Boy Trump's nose grow, et cetera? That kind of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, that kind
that's
of thing.
Really, that's good. Because
he lies.
To Photoshop.
I like that.
Let's move on to stories everyone got wrong this year. I guess we've already been talking about that, like I said up top. It's basically the same story. Yeah. But I do feel like Trump monopolized the media so much that there are a lot of stories that nobody paid attention to that should have been, maybe, or at least would have been in any other year. Like, fucking bears are just everywhere attacking people. Russian scientists were trapped in a weather station by polar bears for like a week. And they were like, oh shit, this happened last year too. Polar bears just like surrounded them. And that might seem like sort of a silly thing to say that should have been covered more, but I will remind you that up until September 10th of 2001, Time magazine had christened that Summer of the Shark because of two shark attacks, and then something happened the next day. I don't really
know. It's interesting that you bring up sharks, because the same way that there are all these bears attacking people, apparently. I saw what read like a very impotent headline a couple months ago, which was just someone who clearly knows that he's not the star this year, but he's like, look, scientists keep finding two-headed sharks and nobody knows why. That's happened this year. And just a scientist's like, I want to put it out there. There's a bunch of two-headed sharks. We're all concerned about, like, on-land threats right now and governmental threats right now. But if anyone feels safe and has time, we're really scratching our heads over this.
But even that, there are these two-headed sharks showing up, and they're reporting, like, oh, we got to take care of these two-headed sharks. What are we going to do? They die immediately. Yeah. They're two-headed shark babies. Oh. They're not like
babies.
Adult
they're not two-headed
sharks.
Shark. Okay, they're right. Right.
I'm not saying
different.
We need to fear the two-headed sharks. I'm saying there are more two-headed sharks than there ever were before. Yeah. Let's get a dialogue going.
They can just do it themselves.
I'm fucking though, I'm fucked up. Spend it when I get that. I ain't trying to keep you. Can't keep up a conversation. Can't nobody read you. Why your eyes well up? Did you call me from a seance? You were from my past life.
Hey guys, we are listening to Nights by Frank Ocean off his album Blonde, which I'm still listening to almost every day. There are some amazing songs that are still kind of revealing themselves to me. Even now, the song I think I mentioned at the time I featured it was my favorite song from just the start, and it's still one of my favorites. It's one of those songs that starts as one song, ends as another, and is great everywhere in between. I don't know, that sounded like a riddle. We'll hear both of those songs going in and out of the ads, and then we'll ride back into the show on one of my favorite moments on one of my other favorite records of the year, Summertime Friends, off of Chance the Rapper's coloring book. Hope you enjoy all of this incredible music while enjoying these words from our incredible sponsors.
Every night fucks every day up. Every day patches the night up. On God, you should match it, it's that KO. No way lighters till I fuck my 28th up.
Crack Podcast is sponsored this week by Harry's Razors. As y'all probably know, the joy of gift giving this season is usually always paired with the anxiety of wondering what to get someone. I got a razor from Harry's years ago, and it's great. I still use it every day, or at least every day that I want to shave. And that's why it makes such a great gift. It's something to get your dad or your husband or brother that they'll actually use all the time. And this winter, they have sets that come at all different sorts of price points, starting at just $15. And all of them come with a razor of your choice, shaving cream, replacement blades, and a travel cover. And if you use the code CRACKED at checkout, you'll get $5 off. So that means you can get a great gift for dad starting at just $10. And he'll never have to know because it looks crazy expensive, you guys. So once again, go to harrys.com. That's H-A-R-R-Y-S.com. And use promo code CRACKED to get $5 off your order.
Socks on concrete, Jolly Rancher kids. I was talking back and now I gotta stay at grandma's crib. Bunch of tank top, nappy-headed bikes, stealing Chatham boys. None of my niggas ain't had no dad. None of my niggas ain't had no choice. JJ, Mikey, Lil Derek and them. 79th Street was America then. Ice cream truck and the beauty supply. Blockbuster movies and hoes again.
You guys ever been watching a movie and thought, why don't they just fix the problem with the very ordinary piece of technology I hold in my hand? There are so many movies that have come out in the past 10 years that should have been over in 5 minutes if the people just actually remembered to use their smartphones. Anyways, tech pioneer VMware had the same idea, so they created a new podcast called IT is Greater Than Sci-Fi, where they drop a couple of IT guys into movies like The Terminator, Star Wars, The Matrix. And if you like the stuff we do here at Cracked, where we point out all of the glaring plot holes in some of our favorite movies, you'll really enjoy this podcast. It's really funny, has one of the best Jeff Goldblum impressions you'll hear in the Independence Day episode. Once again, it's called IT is Greater Than Sci-Fi, and all 8 episodes of the series are live for you to binge at vmware.com/radius/sci-fi. You can also download it from iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Overtime, all the time, every night. Ready my blessing, I'm ready, I'll wait. Never let a friendship get in my way. Never let a block get in my way. Make the whole song, do whatever I say. 79, 79, 79, babe. 79, 79, 79, babe. Some of my homegirls got lost in the paperwork. They was good friends, but I faked the flirt. Cause if it ain't work, can't make it work.
Dan, I want to let you talk about the saddest person in the news this year that nobody...
Who, me?
Yeah. No. The guy that you brought up at a recent meeting.
Oh, yeah. This is a gentleman in politics from Texas whose last name is Gomer and his first name is Schmitty.
Louie.
Louie Gomer.
It's not Schmitty. It's not Schmitty Gomer.
No.
That would
it's
be a bad name.
Louie Schmitty the Clam Gomer, politician who put forth a motion to ban gay people from space, which is a very...
How did he know of my plan?
It's a thing that, like, no one is even... Right. Talking about now.
Oh, girl, we're talking about it.
For me, if I want to extrapolate and look at what has happened historically from high-ranking politicians who are staunchly anti-gay or anti-whatever and then come out later to be secretly the thing that they were campaigning against. This is, for me, politician man Gomer is very gay, and I celebrate that. There's nothing wrong with it. This is just him trying to, like, think forward. Where can I finally be free from temptation? I got it. I'll go to space, and I'll ban all those sexy gays, so none of them will be tempting me, and it'll be me and my wife in space, and then we can start this family, finally. And that's if you want to extrapolate.
I just think he's in love with an astronaut, and he doesn't want to see his heart fly away.
There are lots of fun you could have if you want to dig deep, but even like there's no way this campaign will ever work. This is never going to get support from anyone. It's superficially hilarious and ridiculous that he's like, we got to get rid of all those gays from space. That's not really a problem for anyone anyway.
It's also like, there aren't a lot of people going to space.
No.
Right. The list is short.
It's very short.
I mean, do you really want to cross lesbians off that list? I have I have 2 drills, 2 electric drills to my own name. I have a table saw. That's a thing I own. I know that I've fixed elements of my own automobile. I know this is exactly
you should
what
go to Greece.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Practical people who wear their hair short anyway.
Right.
Who look sturdy in a uniform.
Same. He has this same bizarre mindset that is like, Jesus was white and Santa was white and the moon is straight and that's it.
Alex, you saw something about a Supreme Court something happening this year? I don't know. What's a Supreme Court?
Yeah. So we have 3 branches of
government. It's a court with sour cream and a little guacamole.
Ah, delicious.
This year, for the first time, we had the Senate just decide the president doesn't get to pick Supreme Court justices. For the first time in 200-odd years, that just happened.
Holding the ball away from the game. Just, no, you don't get to play. I'm not going to let you play.
And then claiming that, like, the game doesn't work.
Yeah, right. The game's ruined.
The game's broken because I'm holding the ball over here because I'm a baby.
Ugh.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I feel like sabotage of the whole government is a problem, but we had an election that was also that, so we were like, what do we cover? You know, it was a really fun time all around. Just really great.
He nominated Merrick Garland 9 months ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
9 months.
Yeah, Scalia died in February.
Merrick's just sitting outside the Supreme Court with, like, wilted flowers and a rumpled suit, just like, yeah. I wonder when she'll let me in.
Yeah, it's not like it's a hard thing to remember to notice or something. When there's a vacancy on the Supreme Court because of death, they, like, drape a black cloth over the chair and everything. Like, it's a bit, it's
I mean, honestly,
noticeable.
The judges wear black cloth. It kind of just looks like his head's not there.
Right, they disappear.
Anthony lost some weight.
But so the Senate did this throughout the election, and then we had an election where we picked a new Senate, right? Or at least a third of the Senate's up every 2 years. And of all the Senate seats that were up, only two of them changed parties. One of them depends on how a runoff in Louisiana goes today when we're recording it. But
yeah, get out and vote a couple of days ago.
Yeah. We were like, oh, the Senate... One branch of government shut down another branch of government despite a third branch of government. And, I don't know, let's bring those people back. They seem fun, you know? They have a good time. Yeah. And I feel like that should have been reported widely.
Yeah. But I think that's the media's fault. Like, they were just like, yeah, well, that's a thing that's happening now. Back to Trump. What did he say? Just let's, like, wait at his press conference for him to walk down.
And I really do think it's a product of everything but the presidential race being way more complicated for people to understand. It's not that people are stupid. It's just it takes more time and energy to understand it. And also that the presidential race is national news, right? If you're a national organization, that's the thing to cover. Like, we report essentially nationally, really internationally, because we're not a local paper. We're not a local TV station. And so the papers and TV stations are the people talking about anything but the presidential race. And even they aren't talking about the Supreme Court because that's sort of out of their jurisdiction. Like, most people don't know that the guy who's afraid of gay space colonies made a run at John Boehner's job a year or two ago to be Speaker of the House.
Ooh.
You know? Yeah. He didn't get it, but we came close. You know, that should be a story, that a bald man fearing gay space almost ran the House of Representatives.
All right, anything before we get on to your cultural things of the year?
There's a lot of backlash in terms of, like, oh, the media got it wrong. They said Trump was going to lose all year, and he won. The fake news, they got it wrong. But, like, the real story that a lot of people got wrong is, like, him and what he's going to do for people who voted for him.
Right.
Like, that regret is going to set in, and it's starting to set in a little bit already, and he's not the president yet.
That was something that was covered in the aftermath of Brexit. Like, the morning after the Brexit vote, they were like, hey, so you clearly regret what you did, right? And they were like, we made a big mistake. We just thought we were, like, voting symbolically.
Right, it was
shit,
a goof.
Shit, you guys.
Like,
big goof on our part. Air bad. I think the media was so, like, chastened by being so cocky about having it right that Clinton was going to win heading into the election that they have just, like, swerved in this other direction that, like, Trump is this legitimate person, where in actuality he's the least popular president-elect ever, right?
Yeah. So. And that's something that's been deeply confusing to me for the messaging of his victory, is that he's still calling it a movement, and so many of the think pieces that came out were like,
it's a movement,
you really
right.
You all underestimated the classism that was happening in America, these poor white unrepresented people, you misunderstood. He was reaching out to a lot of people who never get reached out to, and there's some truth to that, but like the narrative was like, you fucked up, you weren't paying attention. Well, no, Hillary and I, we still won by quite a bit in terms of, like, sheer numbers of people who came out to vote. And, like, I don't understand the messaging where it's like, I got more votes in the Electoral College. Good. That means you're the canny politician. That means you're the clever one who figured out how to win the system. It doesn't mean you're part of a movement. You don't get a mandate. You came in third in terms of how many people wanted a president. First was no one, because people didn't show up to vote. Second was Hillary. Third was you. In terms of, like, amount of people who woke up on November 8th or did early voting, wanted to exercise their choice of who should be president. You came in third, President Boy.
Yeah. Right, more votes for president, except for Obama in 08, I think.
I think you're exactly right that these promises that Trump's making aren't going to come true. The people who followed him are already starting to feel regrets. But the part where Trump's false bravado on places like Twitter and behind a podium will merge with the very real policies that will be enacted by his cabinet happens when those promises don't come true. And what Trump has been very cleverly doing is telling us who our enemies are. And when he needs somebody to blame, he's not going to have to invent one. I mean, I bet a lot of people in the seats in the room are on that list. I'm on that list. It's not a comfortable position to be in to just wait for people to realize they're not going to get their coal jobs back and blame gays in space. Like, I know the rage that comes from that loss, and if we have been ignoring people and people have been left behind here, their rage is legitimate. It is criminal and tragic to me that it will be funneled toward people who just don't look or sound like them. I love, if you're conservative, good on you. I'm obviously a liberal person. I hold no resentment toward someone with conservative views. We both believe in democracy. We both believe in this country and the concept that founded it, and if not founded it, at least came along with the Bill of Rights. We're still moving in the same direction. I want to work with conservative people, and I always have. The people I cannot hold court with are fucking fascists. And they're everywhere right now. And I got no fucking patience for you. If you don't appreciate democracy and you don't appreciate the Constitution, which is what you're doing when you start lashing out at people the way people are going to, I have deep fears and anxieties. And I also just got an emotional support animal. So I'm handling it in the most bullshit privileged way possible.
And what's that ESA animal? What's his or her Instagram again?
Her name is Major Margaret Hot Lips Houlihan, and her Instagram is...
Oh, yeah.
Her Instagram is @major_Houlihan.
All right, let's get to our cultural things of the year. Daniel, you have the floor.
Yeah, I am going with buzz phrases, which is a thing that I feel very trapped in my own self. Like, I'm a video game character who learns a new vocabulary word and then communicates to the other video game characters in the new word that I learned. Like, I used to just have an idiolect and speak and walk around and have opinions and learn and consume things. And now I feel like I come to work and day after the election, I'm just like, mumble, 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 bubble. We were all in a bubble. Now we all say bubble over and over again. And bubble is in the headline of everything. And now...
Fake news.
Mumble, 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 fake news, fake news. Everyone just says fake news all the time. Like, I just feel like we're creating this strange shorthand of catchy buzz phrases, and we're essentially speaking to one another in sound bites at this point.
From
the podcast that I listen to, this is not normal. Yeah, we're living in a post-fact blank, openly bragged about grabbing women without their consent. Like, these are just things that we've all heard so many times that we're just, like, mumbling them as if it's the Pledge of Allegiance, where we just say all the things that we've heard and are now, like, part of our brain. It's making communication very difficult, and it's even very difficult to talk about this phenomenon without saying the word bubble to describe it. But I just know that it's going to be very difficult to transcend to the next stage of this conversation if we can't penetrate one another's brick wall of buzz phrases.
I thought you were going somewhere way hotter.
We also use each bubble uses the same phrase a lot.
Yes.
Like, I'm going to shout fake news at you. You're going to shout fake news at me. Now we're done talking. I'll see you later.
Right. I watch rallies where he's in Iowa, North Carolina, and the crowd is saying, lock her up, lock her up, lock her up. And I'm sitting here saying, this is not normal. This is not normal. This is not normal. That's not a conversation. That's not any way for me to connect with another person. And, you know, this ended up being a downer. I should have just talked about Hamilton mixtape.
Yeah, maybe you should.
Yeah, that Jill Scott joint, that's fucking fire. Holy crap.
Well, also, with buzz phrases, I feel like this is the first year where all of them are fully politicized. Most other years, at least one of them is, I drink your milkshake, or like some kind of, something breaks through this.
I like how
this.
Sassy your Daniel Day-Lewis was.
I drink your milkshake.
Yeah. It really was. Sassy Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah. Really bizarre misinterpretation of that scene.
You guys better watch your milkshake.
We have to do a reshoot real quick.
It's me, Abraham Lincoln. It's very accurate. That was a very accurate impression.
If listeners could only see the shoulder wiggle on Alex when he did his...
Oh, they can feel it.
Lincoln.
I stretched before this.
Cody, what is your cultural thing of the year?
Yeah, I'm sorry for this. I kind of want to talk about Harambe briefly.
Oh, no.
Just because this is, I think, a really good example of where we are this year and where we are now in our lives, where nothing matters and no one really cares about what they say they care about. I'll talk about the alt-right a little bit, but just like people in general.
Nazis. You can say that.
The Nazi party. Using Harambe as like this symbol of honor and like dicks out for Harambe. Oh, I still see the Harambe meme everywhere, and it's bullshit because you don't give a fuck about gorillas. You don't care at all, but you still see these people using him as this symbol of something they don't believe in, but it's effective, and like I just hate it so much. If you really like, if you cared about it, you would donate to like a wildlife refuge. You wouldn't Photoshop a Make America Great hat on a picture of a gorilla. That's nothing. You don't care. And
it's also not like the response was like, close zoos, release the animals. The response was like, don't shoot them while I'm looking at the place I come to look at them at.
Right.
Like, that's not, it's, you
and
can't.
Like, and yeah, I see these like year in reviews that are like, oh, and then on this date, a gorilla named Harambe was shot when it was dragging a child in its habitat. And people didn't understand this senseless act. It's not senseless. The first part of your sentence explained it. It's dragging a child to death.
It was really like Lenny got the rabbit.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like the intention of Harambe was to crush the thing it was holding, but the reality is it's probably going to get crushed.
Right.
Like, you can't. That's,
and
Lenny
it's like,
can't
like
have the
grabbing onto like a cause that like you don't actually give a shit.
Yeah.
You're just using it to talk about your fucking Nazi bullshit.
So segueing away from Nazi bullshit for a second, this is just a brief sidebar. No. Seems as good a time as any. If anyone is just a tourist who was happening by and heard like, oh, UCB, what a great theater. I wonder if Amy Poehler's going to be there tonight. I'm really sorry.
This poor woman down front. Hi. We're cracked.
So Harambe's this gorilla that got shot, and it was sad. Yeah, you're caught up now.
Anyway,
Jason and I were talking about the idea that PETA ads having nudity in it were specifically designed to kind of mock the conservative people, because not only were they telling them how to raise their animals, which they're who give us all our meat, but they're like doing it without clothes on, rubbing their values in their faces. I wonder if the Harambe thing was that in reverse, where it's the right wing being like, haha, dead animals, fuck you, and like pretending, like mocking their values.
Right. I feel like, yeah, there's a little bit of that. Because, I mean, they're all like half trolls, and they think that that's the way to communicate with people. And there is that element to it where they're just like, yeah, Harambe, like, we're all sad about it, right? You know? Yeah, people suck.
Yeah. It's going to be the end of all of your shares, I believe.
People suck.
What is your cultural
really
thing of the year? Yeah.
It's so cheesy. It's the Obama-Biden memes.
Good. Those are fun.
Yeah. Oh, man. I didn't do great in 2000 during the Bush years. I studied political science from 99 to 2004. Okay. Now I'm a comedian.
Yeah, what the hell?
Just that timeline was fucking rough. And if you have my perspective and you happen to go to college in Humboldt State, which is a bubble in and of itself, a very cloudy bubble, it was just a rough era. And I'm aware of that. And I didn't do great. I was kind of a shitty person during that time, too. I really didn't like people who didn't agree with me. I had to work a lot on myself to get through that time. And here we are with it starting again, and it feels much, much worse. And I'm just trying to focus on how great my life is, how many rad things I get to do with all like amazing people all the time, trying to focus on how things are great. And when I look at my phone and scroll through disaster after painful, heartbreaking story, one after the other, and then up pops a fucking stupid picture of Joe Biden in sunglasses, the air gets fresher. Like, my heart gets lighter. I love it so much. And I love Obama as the patient but boring friend. I love that so much. So much. Just feels good. And I like that they ran with it. Like, I think that the left is a step behind in terms of technology and communication, but the Obama White House has been effective at getting messages and images out. And the way they saw that snowball and jump in with it was just such a delight. It was a bright spot in the last month in which I've been really trying to find bright spots. Did I mention I got a talk and I take it to Vance?
Alex, your cultural thing of the year.
Just off that, I think Hillary was excellent at memes, at least early
so
in the campaign.
True.
Especially with the texting thing where
so
she
good.
Met with those guys afterward and everything. Tremendous. Really great. I was going to say, a cultural thing, there's a Samantha Bee segment where she tries to get a mascot suit from the NRA because they have a mascot for children to be safe with guns called Eddie Eagle, and it's an amazing piece, and I think we have part of it. Roll the clip.
We have a clip.
Eddie
Eagle, the NRA's gun safety mascot, who, when not in super lame cartoon form, is sent around the country patronizing children with unlistenable raps about guns.
Guns shouldn't be left lying around. Yeah, stop!
But there's something about that costume. So mockable. So asinine. I had to have one. But it turned out the organization that makes it easier to get a gun than Sudafed makes it nearly impossible to acquire their giant dancing eagle. The first step was completing the NRA's 18-page costume application, which includes 36 rules and regulations to keep me from living out my eagle-taunting fantasies. They have rules like, Eddie Eagle doesn't drive, Eddie Eagle does not smoke or drink alcohol, and he's always clothed. On top of that, I'd have to deal with their mandatory 20-day waiting period. Who wants to wait 20 days to get something awesome? That's not the America I know.
And so the rest of the segment, she faces very, very strict eagle regulation and incredibly loose gun regulation. They send people all over the country to try to get one, various places. She builds a fake gun safety group to try to get one and can't get one. And in the meantime, she just builds up an arsenal of weaponry behind her that falls over at one point. And it's amazing, but also it and other stuff. I feel like we really had plenty of satire this year and plenty of comedy that was politically conscious this year. And we should keep it up. It's great. But I feel like that piece about guns is even building on past gun satire. You know, like we're satiring as well as we can as a country, and we need to do the other things too.
Right? Right.
Organize and vote and do
that. Wait, are you saying that calling him Trump didn't help?
Maybe.
Okay. Maybe we didn't call him that enough.
Yeah.
I knew it was going to come down to sense.
I definitely think she is satiring as well as anyone.
The Trump is illiterate segment.
Oh, God.
Yes.
He is.
I mean, she handles it with compassion, because illiteracy is fucking serious, and if it's something you're dealing with, whether or not you're rich or whatever, that's fucking hard. But the case she lays out respectfully is feels amusingly
It's
true.
Very compelling.
Yeah, no, I think he is actually dyslexic, and you know that's a serious condition that is very difficult to deal with. There's a lot of entrepreneurs who are dyslexic and overcame that by like thinking outside of the box, and I think that's where he gets a lot of his like sort of ability to bullshit and stuff like that.
I'm gonna say that's narcissism, but yeah, okay.
Well, no, it's like a combination of skill and narcissism, but he is the only one who like won't tell anyone, like would never admit it, and he's gonna be our president, and that's weird because like presidents have to do a lot of reading, and I think he's still in the like they must never know
my
secret.
If you're at a point
like,
where you
place.
Have to clarify that presidents do a lot of reading, things are not good. Like that's
it's a problem.
Yeah, they have to read.
And now we take you forward a year into the future for 1 minute from the 2017 year in review. You want to go first?
Nope.
We're going to start with Alex.
Oh, man, 2017. I am so amazed and fascinated by that successful impeachment. Now, I'd like to spend... Hang on. I have... The rest of my 50 seconds, they made my new iPhone wrong. And now I can focus on that, and I'm really hung up on it, and the dongle's not properly, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, that new iPhone sucked, and we didn't even notice, right? I mean, what the fuck, you guys? What happened to us? Caitlin.
It's 2017, and I'm reporting from inside the camps. Lesbian camp is actually pretty great, if I'm being honest. It's a little bit country, it's a little bit Burning Man. Parking spot, but only for Subarus and Honda Fits. There is dog for every person. This really came as no surprise to us, and we had planned ahead. We had already taken over your national parks. We had annexed them by visiting them exclusively over the past generations. We were qualified campers before we arrived here, and all of us had many Coleman items, tents, lanterns, stoves, adequate supplies of propane as we plan ahead. We are hesitant to hunt, as all of us are a little bit squeamish about that, if we're being honest, but the crops we have grown are gorgeous, lush, Russian excellent, and we'll all be having a vegan feast. They make a mean cashew cheese. Come on by. We welcome anyone, provided you have a dish to pass.
Hey, Cody.
Hey, what's up?
Happy 2017,
Happy 2017. Man. Oh, Christmas is coming up, 2017.
I know.
Oof. I wanted to talk about early January. Donald Trump, reality star, consistent failure, and just mean man, was sworn in as the 45th president of the United States. Vladimir Putin was in attendance. And in true Trumpian fashion, Donald bucked tradition and shoved his wife, Melania, to the ground and shouted, "I don't want to be in the White House. I just want to be in Ivanka." Nobody gasped. Following this, Mr. Putin stood and, after a brief but tender touching of tongues with the new president, unzipped Trump's pants, revealing what Donald has told us all along: he has a big old dick. Unfortunately, it tastes exactly like cat food. January 21st, 5 a.m. The world wakes up as we discover that Elon Musk was right. We are living in a simulation, and it was meant to just see how much we could fucking take and how far we could be pushed. Turns out, real far. We unplug and discover that after a respectful and mostly uneventful presidential election, Hillary Clinton defeated Jeb Bush, who's a mess. Otherwise, 2017 was pretty great, and nobody died.
Nobody died. Amazing.
Nobody died.
We're facing a terrible overpopulation problem, but I'm sure we'll figure it out.
Yeah, fine.
We're a smart country. Hey, Dan.
Hey, Jack.
How's it going, bud?
Super prepared and happy.
Yeah, no. You were scribbling furiously over there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was a different thing. I was writing down what Cody was saying in case he forgets it later.
Thank you so much.
Yes. I'm delivering this minute of 2017 year review from prison because I've published a book called How to Fight Presidents, and that's illegal now. And also because I called President Boy Trump a crater-faced cheese doodle once on this podcast a few months ago, and then again just now he's a crater-faced cheese doodle. But that said, I have nothing but positive things to report. Boy of the year, Donald Trump's approval rating briefly and immediately plummets because everything he says and does doesn't work well with the thinking electorate. So his approval rating goes down, and because he's so sensitive, that's the only thing that he cares about. So calling in a favor, he has former President Barack Obama stick around as America's dad for a while. It's not like an official position or anything. He's just like, "Barack, I'm really sad and I don't know what to do." And like, Barack was gonna go like fucking own the Warriors or go to Hawaii. And Michelle's like, "You promised when you'd stop being president, we could focus on like one of my things." He's like, "I know, just let me just stick around DC till like June, I guess. And then back again in September. Like, we'll take the summer off from president being like shadow president to big boy Trump. But everything remains mostly fine because President Obama stays our president secretly for the next 8 years?
Sure.
Can I be greedy?
Let's call it eight.
Yeah.
Eight? We'll do eight. Awesome.
Yeah. And someone's going to die. Kerry Russell?
Aww.
But
it's relevant. The Russians probably took care of that.
Yeah.
Russell, Russians.
Do you have time for any audience shares? Brett, you can just yell down.
4 minutes.
4 minutes.
4 minutes. Do people have 4 minutes worth of things to reflect on from this year? Cool. There's a mic right there.
So one of the things I thought was really interesting about this past year was in the world of sports, if you kind of looked at some of the things that happened in sports, if you consider that 2016 is the end of the world, sports was kind of like wrapping things up, like a series finale style.
Yeah.
One of the big ones, I think, was the NBA championships this year.
Hell yeah.
The Cleveland Cavaliers beat statistically the best team of all time.
Yeah.
In a crazy series to bring the first championship to Cleveland in 52 years.
Right.
And then
after LeBron comes home and like.
Right.
Yeah.
Insane stuff. You had Super Bowl 50. Peyton Manning, I forget, I didn't print out Wikipedia, so I don't have all the facts, but he had like...
he won.
He I think, had like 50 playoff wins or something like that in Super Bowl 50. It was like totally even. Nobody remembers because he was trying to fuck Papa John or something. So, and then you have the Cubs won the World Series the first time in 100 years, but one of the ones that I think is the craziest one is that in the world of college football, for the first time in since like 1985, the number 2, number 3, and number 4 teams lost, and one of those teams was Jim Harbaugh's Michigan State, who lost
Michigan, that, Michigan.
Michigan, right. My bad. So Michigan's, with Jim Harbaugh as coach, lost to Iowa that day by a field goal. And the last time 2, 3, and 4 all lost, Michigan lost to Iowa by a field goal, and their quarterback was Jim Harbaugh.
Oh, really?
It was the same exact ending to the football game the day 1985, the last time 2, 3, and 4 all lost. It's the craziest coincidence maybe ever. So I think, like, if that's the series finale, I think they really wrap things up pretty well.
I think that's a good lesson. Ended on the Cubs one, but yeah.
Simulation. Like,
yeah.
That's awesome, man.
That's a tremendous summation.
That is exactly right. That, like, both baseball and basketball ended as if they were being written by an HBO writing staff.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy.
That's awesome. Great.
And even football this year, like, ratings are down, and we come into work on Monday, and I'm like, it's not really good this season.
Yeah.
I don't know who's writing it.
After a great season finale, yeah. You're like, eh. Awesome.
They fired the showrunner, apparently.
What's your name again?
Thank you.
Tyler.
Last season of Scrubs.
All right. Thanks, man.
Or like,
hey. Hi, guys. I'm Hoots.
Season of Joey.
Hoots?
What's that? Hoots.
Hi, Hoots.
Hi.
Boots?
Hoots.
Hoots.
Yeah. Hoots. One of the things that I found really profound about this year was... kind of coming towards the end of the year now, all these people are feeling like these really negative emotions, like anxiety, anger, sadness, fear. But those kind of negative emotions kind of can't exist in a vacuum of hope. I don't know how you guys feel, but anecdotally, I kind of feel like there's this fire lit under people's asses never before. I've never seen anything like it. And if there's one positive kind of thing I can take away from what's been a dumpster fire of a year, it's that hope is really strong and ever present right now.
Awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think a lot of people who were a little bit sleepy got woke, and not in the stupid meme way, that they realized that they can't take a back seat. And for people who've put other pursuits ahead because they've been able to, because things have been pretty smooth, are now realizing that they have a job, and part of that job as a citizen is maintaining democracy. It's incredible to watch, and love wins. Love always wins. And I feel like a lot of people who are feeling anxiety are also experiencing these waves of love. And it's important to remember, because you're going to fucking need them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't have fire without oxygen.
So true.
You can't have sadness without hope.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Sweet.
Hell yeah.
Thanks.
Awesome.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we've got time for one more. So you guys have to fight each other to see who goes up.
So hi, my name's Zach, and this is directed at Dan O'Brien, because, like, politically, this year was a
garbage. All right, the other one. The other one.
Yeah!
Zach, get up on that mic.
And, like, politically, the year was a garbage fire, so me, I was, like, relying on pop culture to be like, oh, this will cheer me up, and then pop culture was like, no. Like, I think in June, it was like, Stranger Things came out, and they were like, did you hear there's a show that's, like, not terrible right now? Like, this... And then we even had shows like Westworld that came in late in the year, and even, like, you guys had a video about it where it's like, it had a good beginning and a good end, but it was terrible, like, in the middle. And I just felt like I ended up watching like 2 years of cracked videos just because I was like, I have no content to actually watch that's like popular. And even like the summer movies, I think Rotten Tomatoes had an article about like how 4 of the 5 top summer movies were all not fresh. Like, all the superhero movies didn't work out. We had Civil War, and that was like the one shining one, and even that was mixed. And Batman versus Superman.
That was
Doctor Strange was really weird. Like, everyone made fun of Cara Devine, like, shaking. But, like, personally, I thought, like, Benedict Cumberbatch just moving his fingers, like, circularly was more awkward. That
this is going to end in a question that I have no idea how to answer, but keep going.
It is not going to end in a question.
No, all right. No, thank you, Zach. I sort of agree that, and Schmitty and I were talking about this recently, that, like, all of the best pieces of pop culture this year were still just fine. Like, we both really liked Popstar was the one that he pulled out.
Popstar is amazing.
Stranger Things was fun. I think a lot of things were interesting.
Sing Street was pretty good.
Yeah. Atlanta is fucking great.
Yeah.
I don't want to get caught in this trap because there are a lot of quick reactions after this election that was like, oh, whatever you think about this election, this is going to produce a lot of really great art as a reaction to this. And, like, I'm all for people finding the silver lining to things, but that seems like a pretty white bright side to be thinking about. It's like, oh, we're going to get some great punk albums. Cool, yeah, that's what we're all worried about.
Also, yeah. Right.
No more punk albums.
Like Bush was president, and then Green Day did American Idiot. Like, yeah. Who gives a shit?
I do think it's a glorious time for bad entertainment, though. And those were the movies I was going to talk about, and I will just shout the titles. If you have Amazon Prime, fucking watch Day of the Animals. It is basically a climate change dystopia horror, like, adventure horror film, and it's perfect if you want to see Leslie Nielsen shirtless who's and being a total asshole. And if you want to watch a good movie to remind yourself that everything's going to go wrong, Escape from L.A. fucking works. It was set in 2013. They only got it wrong by like 4 or 5 years. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah,
so
I
just
wrote...
watch the terrible shit. Go back in time.
Surfed here from the coast.
Yeah.
Deep Escape from L.A. reference.
So it might not have been a great year for pop culture and by extension, culture. But that's again, I mean, it all ties together into the same, like, Subway Rat King, where we're not excited about President-elect Trump, but we're super excited about letting him know that and taking an active change, whether you're setting up quarterly donations with ACLU or Planned Parenthood or the Democratic Party or, like, whatever party Southern you support, or you're protesting. These are things that we're all actively doing on a political level, where we're mm-hmm. where people are going out and having conversations and taking action like they never have before. That's going to happen with movies too. I mean, like, movies aren't as important as protests and donations and support people who don't have a voice. But if we ignore all that and just focus on movies, there are a lot of people who are like, this is a bad year and all the movies are bad. I'm going to go out and I'm going to fix all of them. All right. There are a lot of people who are younger and have more energy than me who looked at this year and are either going to be the next and first lady president, or they're going to be the next fucking David Fincher or some other great director who looked at these movies and was like, I can make a better Captain America movie. I can make a better president. I'm going to go out and do that. Like, bad things inspire good things 1,000% of the time.
Right, and I think it's more important now because of who it is. Because it doesn't normally matter, but now we can all go make art that makes Donald Trump feel bad about himself.
Yeah.
He watches SNL and tweets in real time how it makes him feel bad. Let's just go make him feel
that
bad.
That is amazing.
It's so easy. Like,
the correct answer was to encourage him to continue watching cracked videos instead.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, we're
yeah.
still making new videos right. every day.
All right, that's all the time we have, guys. Thank you so much for coming
out. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Happy New Year. All right, that was our episode. This is our fifth and final song of the year, Mitski's Best American Girl, which is just sort of a timeless feeling, awesome rock song that I really fell in love with, never fell out of love with this year, and still probably listen to more than any other song. I discovered it on the Hype Machine app, wanted to get one of those Hype Machine discovered tracks on here. And yeah, I hope you enjoyed the year-end conversation. Thanks to everyone who was in the audience. Thanks to Caitlin, Daniel, and Cody, and Alex, of course. And that's it. That was the year in review and review. Let's move on to some footnotes. We're going to link off to the baffling Yahoo's top search terms page. We're going to link to a video taken by one of the fans at Kanye show in Sacramento after he kind of tells them to bring the lights up and then just kind of slowly floats out of the stadium awkwardly. We'll link to The Guardian, an article called Google, Democracy, and the Truth About Internet Search. And we'll link to that video of the senator bringing a snowball to the Senate floor. We'll link to a article in The Telegraph called Russian Scientists Besieged by a Pack of Polar Bears. Russia's fucking hardcore, man. We'll link to a National Geographic article about two-headed sharks. And we'll link to my favorite sad news story of the year. Texas GOP Representative Louis Gohmert will save us from gay space colonies.
We'll link to the Instagram of Major Houlihan. That's Caitlin's dog. We'll link to the video of Samantha Bee trying to purchase the Eddie the Eagle costume. That was Alex's favorite piece of media from the year. And we'll link off to the other Samantha Bee segment that makes a pretty compelling case that Donald Trump can't read. And that's going to do it for this week, not the year. We've actually got another episode to go. Thanks to engineer Brett, who you can follow on Twitter at Brett, R-A-D-E-R. You can follow me at Jack underscore O-B-R-I-E-N. And we'll be back next week with more podcasts. Talk to you guys then. Hey guys, thanks for listening, and thanks to Loot Crate for sponsoring this episode. December's Crate features 100% exclusive collectibles featuring items from Assassin's Creed, Firefly, and Mr. Robot. You only have until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific to receive this month's crate, because after that, you're out of luck, it's over, the door slams in your face, and you are left out in the cold to freeze to death. You might notice, if you're listening to this episode on the day it comes out, that it is the 19th, and that you really should go hustle and sign up for this month's crate, because you only have a few hours. Put in your order before time runs out. Go to lootcrate.com/cracked and enter cracked at checkout to receive $3 off any new subscription. Thanks, Loot Crate.
Hello, I'm Chris Gethard, and here with me is dream analysis expert
Gary Richardson.
And we are here to give you a taste of a brand new podcast called In Your Dreams, presented exclusively by the fine folks at Casper.
We listen to the wildest, weirdest dreams submitted to us by you, our listeners. And we do our best to figure out just what those dreams could possibly mean.
I look over the side of my bunk bed, and there are Huey Lewis in the news.
You're saying this person might have interests in style and fashion specifically. You can tell that from that voicemail.
99% certainty.
Plus, we'll be joined by some very special guests.
The word mortality comes to mind.
Mortality?
Blood.
Bloodtality.
Subscribe to In Your Dreams right now on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.
Good night.
This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman, Adam Sachs, and Chris Bannon. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.